for the life of the church. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a life and death struggle. If you chose to name the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in a fight for the life of the church and the soul of the world against the enemy. Whether you like it or not, you've been drafted. And it's kind of like if we're using the imagery of the New Testament or the Bible, when you walk out of your house this morning, God's saying, here's your shield and sword, go to work. I guess if we're talking about today, here's your rifle. I don't know what kind of rifle they use now in the Army, but maybe it's the Vector 45 or something like that. It's a funny gun that someone showed me once. Go out there and fight for the kingdom. And as we go, it's important that we go not only well prepared by putting on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the shoes, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, all those wonderful things, but that we do so with a heart of courage. And one of the things that demonstrates whether or not we have the right heart as we go into battle is whether or not we're going out singing songs of deliverance. Now, I not only doubt, I'm sure that there is no one in this room today who remembers World War II. Like my mom, my 90-year-old mom, I think, was just a young teenager when World War II started, or 12 years old, something like that. But the images I seem to remember, and forgive me for not researching it a little bit better, and when men went off to war, they just didn't kind of, you know, report to barracks and go off. They got together, and they went in a with the adulation and the praise of their communities. It was a parade, and they would march through town, and the citizens of that community came out and cheered them on. And I remember some of the songs we used to sing, like in school growing up, that were old war songs that they sang, like "You're a Grand Old Flag" and things like that. Songs that would inspire patriotism and victory. And many of the people who went off to war, I'm sure there are many who were scared, but many were confident because they were Americans that they were going to get the victory for their country, and in case of World War II, for the world, for freedom itself against the forces of oppression. And as we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not want to see the world set free? And the answer is yes, we do. And are we not the army of God who have been called to usher in that victory? And the answer to that is yes, we are. And so this morning I'd like to talk about the importance of, as we go out to fight this battle every day, one of the aspects of praise that should be upon our lips as we worship and serve God are songs of deliverance. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to take time and look at Psalm 34, because it's a great psalm or song of deliverance. It gives us insight as not only what to sing, but how to sing and why we sing these songs as we go out to battle each and every day. And our opening text is verses 4 and 5, which read, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame." Let's bow our hearts together, and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your presence and Your peace that is in this room today. And we thank You, O God, that You are a delivering God. And the reason we know You are a delivering God is because it is promised in Your Word that You will deliver us. And so, God, this morning, as we look to the Word of God, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this room. I pray that you give words to this, your speaker this morning, and I pray that you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I thank God for the privilege that we have to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say that, not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night when we have a few songs of worship and praise. And that's all good and wonderful and important. In fact, I feel an extra blessing from God, if I can say that, when we come together and we worship God together. But I thank God that I have the privilege to worship Him each and every day. And for the time that we live in, you know, not that we need technology, but I thank God that, you know, especially those days, and you might not have days like me, but those days when I wake up and I'm a little cranky. I said earlier, you know, we use the expression, you know, we get out of the wrong side of the bed. I get out of the same side of the bed every morning because I don't want to climb over Raylene to get out of bed. And she definitely doesn't want me to climb over her. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you just get up and you're in a bad mood and you don't know why. And you know, as a child of God, that's not a place that you need to be, that God wants you to be. It's not a healthy place to be. And of course, there's a number of things that shake that from me as I worship Jesus and as I follow through some of the spiritual disciplines that we've been called to do as far as praying and seeking the face of God every morning, reading the Word of God, and as I read the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, how it changes my mindset, my point of view on the day. But also the privilege that I have to lift up the name of Jesus, either in song or with shout. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with shouting God's praises. In fact, the words, and we'll get into this as we progress through the message this morning, the phrase song of deliverance can also be translated shouts of joy. There's nothing wrong with shouting, and if you feel like shouting, go right ahead. It blesses God, and it will bless you. But it's not only when we give God praise, it's not only something that honors God and pleases God, that God is due. It's also something that blesses us. And there are many aspects of praise, and we think especially of these aspects on a Thanksgiving Sunday. We worship God because of how great He is. Isn't it wonderful that God has revealed Himself to the entirety of all mankind? In fact, now, especially as a Christian man, I cannot look at a beautiful landscape, or really anything of beauty, without seeing God. Creation declares the glory of God, His power and His infinite might and His beauty. So we thank God for who He is. We thank God for giving us life. We worship God for giving us life. We're thankful that He has given us life. We sing songs extolling His holiness. Because His holiness, according to the Word of God, is something that is beautiful. Not beautiful as far as physically, but beautiful spiritually. We're in the presence of God and we sense how holy or beyond the things of the world that He is. It fills our hearts with a sense of awe of the spiritual beauty of that. How as wonderful as things are on the earth, how much beyond the Lord is. And of course we worship God and praise God for His love and for His forgiveness, for the joy and the peace that He gives us, so many things. But one of the things we must not neglect as we worship God, our songs of deliverance or declarations that not only does God love us, not only is God holy, not only has God saved us and forgiven us, but God is going to deliver us from whatever we're going to face in the day. God is going to bring us through victoriously. I thank God for all the wonderful songs that we sing and some of the beautiful songs that were written, but I notice that we don't, and maybe it's just me, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of songs written about God's might and God's power, though we sang one this morning of, you know, your great name, how great the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and how powerful it is. But some of you, forgive me for calling you old timers, but some of you, you know, remember some of those old time songs that we used to sing as, you know, Pentecostal people. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord, or God's got an army. Or I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. How many of you remember that? And singing over and over and over, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. Last church we sang that so many times. It's not all of worship, but it should be an important part of worship, us singing about the delivering power of God in our lives. In fact, this could have been our text this morning, but we're keeping in Psalm 34, but Psalm 32 verse 7 talks about the importance of this, in having this dimension to our praise life or our worship. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. What are these songs? Let's take some time to talk about this, because it's important that, especially as, because we're going to face, not only are we going to, we are facing difficulty. Troubles, if you're not experiencing them now, they are coming your way and they are too much for you. And even though everything in your life might be, excuse the expression, hunky-dory, you know, everything's going okay, the enemy, each and every day is going to come at you with everything that he possibly can to try to derail you from your faith in Jesus. When we leave our house every morning, we need to do so with songs of deliverance, confident that God is going to bring us through. So the question that we have is this: what constitutes then a song of deliverance? Well, as I mentioned earlier, this could also be called a shout of joy, victory. Now, sometimes we're hesitant to do this. And the reason we are, because we haven't quite realized the victory yet. There are some, we see this in politics, we saw it recently. But we also see this in sports a lot of time. I guarantee, you know, one sports team saying, I guarantee that we're going to beat the opposition. We're football season now. I guarantee that we're going to beat the opposing team by two touchdowns. In fact, some of the playoff games before the World Series, one of the Yankee players came under fire because after the Yankees won game two of their series, of their divisional series with the Red Sox, in Fenway, Aaron Judge, I think it was, walked by the Red Sox bench or dugout with a boombox playing New York, New York. And he didn't come out saying, you know, we got this. I'm guaranteeing a victory. But, you know, I'm guaranteeing a victory. You know, he was trash talking. And, you know, you don't do that because you might, what happened to Aaron Judge might happen to you. And the Red Sox went on to win the next three games or two games. I don't know how many games. I think the next two games, three games. Won this. He grew up a Red Sox fan. And what do you think the Red Sox played after they won that series? New York, New York. And then when they won the series, they got the boombox out again and played New York, New York. You don't trash talk unless you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not only the freedom, the liberty, we have the command that when we go out, even though we haven't quite yet engaged the enemy, we're not sure what trouble or trial or difficulty we're going to face, We already have the victory because when Jesus hung on the cross, the last three words He shared was, "It is finished." And of course, what He meant by that was victory over hell, death, the grave, and anything else that can come against you in this life. Your salvation, your deliverance is sure. So as, no matter what we're facing, even if we're in the midst of a terrible battle, when we go out each and every day, we need to go out with songs of deliverance, shouts of joy. And this phrase, and this word also could be translated rejoice, is always in Scripture used in conjunction with being delivered from or escaping some kind of evil or calamity or trial or death or sin. No matter how big, you're just like God is no respecter of people, the power of God is no respecter or not fearful or intimidated by how big any trial or difficulty that man might face. And so we not only are privileged, but we're called to sing these songs of deliverance. But backing up just a moment, one of the things that's important that we realize is that we can only sing these songs if we first and foremost, before we sing or before we've stepped out of the house, have called upon the Lord for His deliverance in our lives. You know, but I think there's chiefly one reason why a lot of people don't feel, a lot of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ don't feel inspired to sing these songs. In fact, would not rather go out of their home, would rather just lock the door and hide under the covers. And the reason that they feel that way is this: they haven't taken time, they haven't exercised the spiritual discipline in prayer and called upon the name of the Lord in the first place to deliver them from all their trials, all their tribulations, and from the things that they are going to face in their life. Two scriptures that relate to it, one I have on here, one I don't, Kurt. Back to our text. Listen to the promise to those who are delivered from all their fears. It just doesn't come to anyone. It comes to seekers of God. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Listen, we can't sing these songs if we're not trusting in Jesus. And one of the elemental aspects of faith in God is casting all of our cares upon Him, including dealing with the enemy, which if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will do every day of your life. And I know this to be true, and I know that we need to call out to God every day because Jesus teaches us to do that. Referring to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, what does Jesus teach us to pray when we pray? Deliver us from whom? The evil one. Sometimes believers in the Lord Jesus Christ aren't confident and don't have that inexpressible joy when they walk out of their house in the morning because they haven't first and foremost called upon the Lord. God, whatever I'm going to face today and the things that I know that I'm facing, deliver me in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, the Word of God says, when you call, I will answer. And when we call upon the Lord and when we trust Him with everything, every difficulty, every challenge, every struggle, both small and big, you can't help but for faith to rise up in your soul, which manifests in these wonderful, beautiful songs of deliverance. And just like songs that we sing, and we, like I mentioned at the beginning of service this morning, some of you got here, it was actually before we actually started, our computer was updated, so we had to sing out of the songbook. And those blue things that are on there. And the hymns we sang all had different verses. And this song of deliverance that God has given us has in Psalm 34 several verses that we should sing if we have sought God as we go out to battle. Verse 1 is a verse or a song of courage. Verse 4, in reading Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. One of the worst things about trial and calamity, whether it's a natural thing that we know that we're going to face, I'm talking about something that's going to happen in the future. And you might know about it, but in the day and age that we live, and especially we live in such a sensationalistic society, you know, be very, very careful of the news. They're not selling news as much as they're selling sensationalism, and they want to stir people up, so you want to, you know, watch more. You get kind of addicted to it. And so a lot of times what they're sowing is fear. Sometimes the fear and dread of what may happen or could happen is worse than that thing actually happening itself. And let me share with you an example from my own life. And one thing I was never really fearful of, but I never wanted to happen to me, was to go through cancer. And I thought, you know, chemo and all that stuff, that would be the worst thing that anyone possibly could go through. I never would want to go through that. I'm not going to say it was a picnic, because it wasn't. And I was very, very blessed when I went through it. God gave me strength to handle the chemo very well. But it was the dread of that, what that was going to do, was far worse than the actual chemo of itself. But if we have sought God, we can sing confidently the song of deliverance, that we have overcome fear in the name of Jesus. I don't have to be afraid. Take heart, be of good courage. Just as God told Joshua, book of Joshua chapter 1. Secondly, the verse or song of dignity, verse 5, those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I know this is an issue with most, maybe not every person, but most people. And I don't mean to be sexist this morning, but I think it's a particular issue with men, is that we don't like to be made a fool of. No man wants to look foolish. In fact, can I let you in on a little secret? One of the things that I fear the most is saying something or doing something up here that'll make me look stupid when I'm preaching. And you're out there saying, well, Pastor, but you do that so well. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and it's an issue of pride. And that's why it's important that we cultivate humility in our lives. But also to understand, as far as shame. And listen, we're all human. And so we're imperfect. We make mistakes. We will look silly or stupid sometimes. I'm not saying we are, but we will look that way. And sometimes we suffer shame because we do stupid things, shameful things, sinful things. One of the things, if you know Jesus and if you cast all your cares upon Him, you called upon the name of the Lord, a song you can sing is a song of dignity, in that because I know Jesus, and even though I've made a mistake today, I don't have to live my life hidden in shame, because God has redeemed me and my face can be radiant. Hallelujah. God has given us the victory over shame. Another verse is the verse or the song of relief. Verse 6, the poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all of his troubles. It's not just a mental thing. God knows what you're going to face. And does not both the Old and the New Testament promise that God will deliver? I think of Isaiah chapter 53, where Scripture says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Whatever we face, has not God given us the victory? In fact, this scripture I will read later on in the message, same chapter, but let me read it now. I should have put it with this one. Psalm 34, verse 19. The promise of God is this: the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. An expectation, not only that God will be with us, and I don't have to be afraid, and I don't have to be shameful, feel embarrassed, but that God is going to get me through victoriously in the name of Jesus. I won't do it, but sharing that this morning is enough to make me want to dance, literally, because that's joy. And singing and dancing go together, amen? Amen. Another verse is a song or a verse of assurance. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Ever feel that it's you against the world? You don't have to answer that. Everybody does. There have been times, I know one time, it was at our last church, it seemed like everything was upside down. What I thought was right was wrong, and there was a lot of people upset with me, and I didn't think they should have been upset, and my head was spinning. I thought to myself, am I crazy? And thankfully, I went and I called a pastor, an older pastor, and we spoke, and afterwards I thought to myself, I was grateful for his counsel and his encouragement, and I thought to myself, well, at least I know I'm not crazy. But even if we don't have that, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we cast our cares upon him, if we ask, seek, and we knock, is that he'll not only deliver us, but he will be with us. We are not alone. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should never be alone because he's always with you, not just him. And angels as ministering spirits. The angel of the Lord encamps around those, verse 7, who fear him, and he delivers them. Never alone. God with you. Angels with you. We don't see them. We're not supposed to see them. For one thing, even though God may use an angel, deliverance comes from God, and he alone is to receive the glory and honor and the praise and adoration for that. But you're never, ever alone if you're serving Jesus and you have called upon the Lord, and so joyfully you can sing each and every day, I am not alone. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now, right along with calling upon God, it's important that we understand that we need to call upon God if we're to genuinely sing these joyful songs. And when we think of songs, I'm not talking about a funeral dirge. And there's a place for that in the body of Christ. Kind of cry our eyes out in song before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a time and place for that when there's loss. But I'm talking about songs of victory. It's important that we not only cast our cares upon the Lord, that we call upon the name of the Lord, but that we do so with the right heart. And Psalm 34 expressly teaches us what the right heart is that is necessary in order to have the freedom and the ability to sing these songs of joy. Number one, being a heart that fears the Lord. Reading verses 12 through 14. Well, actually, verse 7 once again. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, when I say fear, if you know Jesus, you're not afraid of dying. Because if you know Jesus, the sting of death has been taken away, absent from the body, present with God. And then, of course, well, we are all in Christ. What we have to look forward to is the resurrection, where this corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortal body will put on immortality. I don't fear hell. I respect Satan, but I don't look up to him as far as respect, but I respect him as a powerful foe and adversary, but I'm not afraid of Satan. And I don't dread God, but the more I know God, especially as I'm in the presence of God, the more I am filled with an awe and a wonder and a humility when I'm in His presence. A good example of this is the man Moses. When he was just, and for 40 years he tended sheep. You know, for one third of his life, we don't have a great detail, or we don't have a lot of writings as far as what he did, because he basically did the same thing every day, and that's take care of sheep. You know, and you know what the interesting thing about that, I don't want to get too technical, but the interesting thing about that, he was raised to be a prince in Egypt, and the Egyptians thought the worst thing you could possibly do in your life, the lowest job that there possibly would be to do, was a shepherd, and that's where God brought him. And did that every day until he saw a bush that was on fire but was not consumed. He said, I'm going to see this thing. And as he came closer, the Lord spoke to him and said, Moses, take off your shoes because you're standing in holy ground. He didn't run away. He was afraid of what God was calling him to do. But he wasn't afraid of God. He spoke with God, but he did revere him. He did honor him. And a good way we test or check to see whether we're people who honor God, who fear the Lord, who have this godly awe and respect, is if verses 12 through 14 describe us. Scripture says in these verses, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. A person who not only has put their faith in Jesus and received the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in their lives, but lives in the fear of the Lord, which we're called to, not only the love of God, but the fear of God, that awe and respect of God, is a person who has committed in their heart, I am going to do everything to serve and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not going to speak wicked things. I'm not going to think evil thoughts. I'm going to live out the Beatitudes. I'm going to seek peace and pursue it. Beatitudes, for those who aren't familiar, are the hard attitudes of that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 5. They're a wonderful study, and they demonstrate someone who's living in the fear of the Lord, because to be honest, we're never outside of God's presence. We may feel it more, especially when we're together or in prayer, but God is always there, and we live in such a way that we acknowledge that. Very closely with that, a heart that is filled with this inexpressible joy, that worships God with these songs of deliverance, is a righteous heart. Verses 15 through 18, same chapter, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And the last part of that verse speaks about when we're wounded or when we're sorrowful, that's when God is near the brokenhearted. And forgive me for not fully developing that point in my message, but I do want to put that out there. But also the importance of living right before the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, there's only one way to live right before God. And that's not by just trying real hard to do the right thing. Because the only righteousness that means anything to God is the righteousness of Christ in us. And there's only one way to really achieve that, and that's not just by trying hard to say the right thing and do the right thing. It's by drawing closer to Jesus and allowing God to become more real and to take over more of your heart and of your life. Spending time with God in prayer and communion with Jesus. Spending time in the Word of God. And these are the basics. I share them often, but sometimes we forget the basics. But making an effort to come out to God's house, to
to fellowship with one another, not just in services, but in Bible study. We had a wonderful men's meeting, Wednesday night Bible study, Reasonable Faith ladies meeting, where God's people come together and encourage one another and spur one another on to good works. These things produce fruits of righteousness within us. And righteousness, when we call upon God with the righteousness of Christ, we have the confidence that our God will deliver, and we have the freedom to sing these songs of joy. Very quickly now, just two quick points before we conclude. Number one, songs of deliverance are very important for us to sing, or shouts of joy, however you want to put it, because they are expressions of what God desperately desires to see within us, and that's faith. Because what faith is, as we alluded to earlier and in the message, is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. This is from Hebrews chapter 11. It's the belief, it's the understanding, I'm going to face some serious things today. I'm going to face a powerful adversary, but I know God, in the name of Jesus, is going to deliver me. That is faith. Faith, please. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So yes, we should thank God for His love and for His forgiveness and honor Him for who He is. But thank Him for the deliverance that is assuredly to come. It builds, when we do that, it builds faith within us, obviously, but it shows God that we truly believe that He is, and that we truly believe He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But let me conclude with this, and Henry, if you'd come, the second thing I'd like to share with you. What about when we're singing these songs of deliverance, we have great faith, we've committed everything to God, we're living in His righteousness. The thing I love about the righteousness of Jesus, it takes into account my unrighteousness. That's where grace comes in, and my imperfection. And so we pray and we're believing God for something. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Maybe it's for something at, you know, a reversal at your job, whether, you know, it's the pink slip or the company closing or something like that. Or a relationship that's broken that would be restored. And at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, everything's still the same. I'm sorry, but you only have a certain amount of time to live, or your loved one only has a certain amount of time to live. And within that time frame, they leave this earth. Or your house. Now listen, I'm not trying to preach doubt this morning. God will provide all our needs according to His riches and glory. There is no doubt of that. And if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. But I know some believers, you know, we don't have to worry about what we eat or what we wear or where we shall live. Is there wonderful, there's been some wonderful, precious people, sometimes through our own mistakes. And mistakes are mistakes, and everybody does them. But it may be lost their home. Can that person say, God's word is not true? God did not deliver? I lost my job anyway. What happened? I prayed the prayer. I sang the song, and nothing happened. I'm not taking anything away from divine healing. We believe God for that. I'm not taking anything away from God provided, you know, being able to provide a financial miracle. I've seen that and I've experienced that. Let me tell you what not only is true, what the ultimate deliverance is that we can bank on. Because remember, God is sovereign. And even when things don't quite go our way, whether it's a health thing or other thing, you know, the divorce goes through, God forbid. And that's this. Most important thing to God, and the thing that God will never take away from you. You can walk away from it. That's another message for another time. But you can be assured of, as far as being victorious, is that whatever the world or Satan throws against you, it will not affect your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your joy of the joy of the Lord that's in your heart, or the peace of God that passes all understanding. Everything on this earth is going to pass away. The only thing that's going to last is our relationship with Jesus. We have the assurance, which is why we can sing songs of joy each and every day, that God will keep us. Jesus puts it this way, and it doesn't relate to songs of deliverance, but it does talk about what the most important thing that there is, and the one guaranteed victory that we have because of what Jesus did in dying and rising again. From Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Let me tell you, and you know, I've talked about things that we may suffer. I think of people like, and I'll share with the example of Corrie ten Boom. And some, if you haven't read The Hiding Place, it's a great book. If you ever get a chance to hear Corrie ten Boom, she's with the Lord, but you can go on, you know, YouTube and your old messages. She is a mighty woman of faith. She was someone who did live during World War II. And in fact, not only did she live, but because she was someone who chose to shelter Jews during the Holocaust, was sent to a concentration camp. She lost her freedom, lived in horrible conditions, lost her father, lost her dear sister. She was a very godly woman. And through, and it's an amazing story, through a clerical error, she was released from, I don't think it was Dachau, I can't remember which prison it was, but she was released from the concentration camp, allowed to return to Austria, and then began, you know, just a tremendous worldwide ministry, which still goes on today. Even though nothing went her way, she emerged from that concentration camp, not only with her faith intact, but her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ stronger than it had been before. God brought her through terrible suffering, but in doing so, not only did she retain her faith in Jesus, she experienced a new dimension in her heart and life of the love and the forgiveness of God, where she was able to forgive each and every one of the individuals who persecuted her, which is what Jesus did as he hung on the cross. We can sing songs of victory because we know whatever comes our way, God will preserve our very souls, our salvation, our peace, our joy, our righteousness. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing in just a moment. But let me close with this. We went through Psalm 34. We looked at the different things that we should sing. Let me tell you, if you cast your cares on Jesus, if you called out to God for deliverance with the right heart, in the righteous heart, fear the Lord, you don't have to go looking in Psalms, although there are an abundance of them there, to find something to sing unto the Lord. Those songs of deliverance will come to you. Once again, Psalm 32, verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Amen? They'll come your way. Let me tell you what I found as a believer in Christ. I can't manufacture joy. I can't manufacture peace. I can say, "I am joyful, I am joyful, I am joyful." But that's just, you know, silly. That's something that, you know, those self-help people try to teach you, you know, that's trying to brainwash yourself. But when you're living in God, those songs come in the name of Jesus. And you just express what's in your heart. "God, you are my deliverer. You are my hope. You are my high tower. You are my strength and my shield." Trust God and sing those songs in the name of Jesus. Henry, if you lead us in a song this morning.